book of Mark, chapter number 5 today. We're going to begin at verse number 21. Just read a couple scriptures here. Mark chapter number 5 and verse 21. For all our visitors that are with us, thank you for being here. We're honored that you would worship with us, take time out of your schedule to be with us, and we're grateful for that. Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, or close to the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she may live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. I want to talk to you today on a simple subject, and it's this: interruptions. Interruptions. Would you just lay your Bibles down and lift your hands one more time, and let's ask God to have his way in this house in the next few moments. God, we come to you today, Lord, with open hearts and open minds. God, we need to receive from you whatever it is, God, that you need to speak to me today. Let my heart be ready to receive. Let it be good ground, God, that the seed of your word can find root and grow there. Lord, we trust you today, and we ask you to lead over the next few moments this service, Lord. Let it be according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. God, we give you thanks and praise. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Interruptions. By definition, this word is an act that causes a stoppage or a break in continuity. I don't like interruptions. Does anybody in the room love interruptions? Unless you're doing homework, then you would love interruptions. Sorry, I can't do my homework. My internet's not working. Any of the kids ever said that before? Interruptions. I don't enjoy them. I like to continue doing what I'm doing. In fact, when I get in a mode of doing a certain job or another, I don't like to stop. I like to finish it because I'm a checklist guy. I like to be able to mark it off. And if I stop in the middle, I can't check it off. And so I don't like interruptions. I like to stay focused. We get interruptions in our life every day. How many have ever heard listening to your you don't listen to the radio as much as anymore. We used to. You listen to the radio and then you hear the beep. This is your daily test of your weather preparedness signal, whatever that is. I don't know. Or the 11 o'clock, whatever that is, around town. You hear it going off. It always stops what I'm doing. We get interrupted. I know when I was working the job I was on, when I was in Indianapolis, we had a huge building. It was massive. In fact, it's the third largest federal building in the United States. The Pentagon is number one. Ronald Reagan Library, surprisingly, is number two. And building one, the Finance Center at Fort Harrison, is number three. It's large. It's huge. In fact, we would take laps inside for our daily walk. You could walk twice and it would be a mile. It's a massive building. But as we would be working, invariably, and just we were involved in a project, we would have the fire drill go off. And it's not just a fire drill that you just open the door and walk outside. You've got to walk forever to the parking lot to get to the spot where you're supposed to. It's an interruption in our schedule. It was terrible. And they would also love to do that. I think they would always say it was random by the computer, but it was always like on the worst day, like the rainy days or the sub-freezing days is when we would have to go outside, leave our all our computers and everything inside. We were interrupted. That's part of life. How many have ever been driving in town, especially in the town that we live in, and get stopped by a train? I love our town, but could we find out who's in charge of the train schedule? Because it always seems invariably, I got an amen in the house today. It seems like it's always when you're trying to get somewhere. And if it's the train that's going right along 15, there's no way around it. You can't go further down. You can race it. I don't suggest that to any of our teenagers with licenses. But they're interruptions. We don't like our schedule to be stopped. We're busy. We've got things to do. We've got places to go. And it becomes frustrating when there's interruptions. And I want to kind of look at this from two different perspectives today. The first is a perspective of the gentleman that we read about here in our text named Jairus. The Bible says he was a ruler, he was well known, and Jesus is getting off of the boat, and everybody's wanting to see him. And he comes and he says, "Jesus, I've got a daughter at home, and she's about ready to die. I need you to come, and I need you to talk to my wife and I and pray for her. I know that you can heal her." And so Jesus agrees, and he's on his way to the man's house. And if you continue to read here, the verses that we did not read, past verse number 24, on the way to his house, there is a great crowd, and then they're just pushing, and they're tight, and Jesus is trying to get through with his disciples. And at some point along the journey, Jesus turns and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" His disciples answered him, and they said, "What do you mean, who touched you? This is a massive crowd. Everybody has touched you." He said, no, this is different, because I felt virtue go out of my body. Somebody touched me with an act of faith. Somebody reached down and touched me. Who touched me?" And if you're a scholar at all of the New Testament, you realize there's a woman who we refer to as the woman with the issue of blood. And she's no doubt, she's on the ground crying. That's kind of how she's portrayed. And Jesus kind of parts the people, and he begins to have a conversation with her. And she said, "Listen, I'm sorry for what I've, pushing through the crowd, but I have to let you understand, Jesus, that for 12 years I've been sick. And I've spent every bit of money that I've got going to every doctor that said that they could help me. And nobody has been able to help me. In fact, I've become worse." And there was something inside of that woman that said, "Listen, I know that you're on the way somewhere. I know that there's a reason that this crowd is following you. I know that you probably have a plan and you have a destination in mind." But there was something inside of this woman that said, "If I don't stop you now, I might never get a healing." There was a purpose of interrupting in her mind. She was trying to get to Jesus' attention. There was a hunger there for her. Listen, God is a God of interruptions. There are plenty of moments in Scripture that we see this played out, and this is one of them that shows us that, yes, he was on his way to Jairus' house. Yes, he was concerned with Jairus' daughter, but there was a hunger that stopped him. Sometimes I think we forget that hunger is the one thing that will stop Jesus in his tracks. Hunger for what he has or what he can do in your life will stop him from where he's going and will direct his attention to you. This woman was healed because she was hungry for an interrupting in Jesus' life. She was hungry for a touch, a healing that she couldn't provide on her own. I'm just asking you today, what might happen if we come into the house of God with a purpose of interrupting God's plan? And listen, if it's his plan to touch me already, that's awesome. But if it's not, I'm hungry enough today that I'm going to divert his attention. I'm going to worship him in such a way that he knows I'm hungry for a touch from God. I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to sing and I'm going to worship in such a way that he knows there's no doubt that I need a touch from him today. We become so complacent in our worship. It's just another song. It's just another 3-song set. And when they get done, pastor's going to preach. I'm just asking you today, if we can walk in here with a hunger for the things of God that says, "Lord, even if you weren't planning on it, I need a touch today. Even if it wasn't in your book today, I need a touch from you today, because I can't get what I need on my own. I need your power and I need your presence in my life." Amen. Jesus responded to hunger. It's an interruption in his schedule, but it didn't bother him. We see this played out in Matthew chapter 15 with the Syrophoenician woman who, as Jesus is going somewhere along the road, stops him and says, "Listen, my daughter is vexed with the devil. Nobody can help her. I need you to help me." And she stops his onward progress. And even when Jesus turns to her and says, "Listen, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the house of Israel. I can't even deal with you yet." And he begins to tell her, I can't move, it's not time. And she says, "Listen, I can't." The phrase that he uses is, "It's not meat for me to give the children's bread to the dogs." That would probably stop most of us in our tracks and we would be done. Okay. Either offended or worried about what everybody else is thinking, and we would walk away, but not this woman, because she was desperate. She needed something from God. Listen, you can call me what you want to call me. You can put me in this corner if you want to. But she responded and said, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Listen, I'm hungry today, Jesus, for what you can do for me. And you're the only one who can do it for me. So I'll take whatever I can get. I'll take whatever healing I can get. I'll take whatever peace you want to give me today, or grace, or a little bit of mercy. I'll take it today. And Jesus was arrested by this interrupting woman, and he turns to her and he said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. And he says, from this day forward, your daughter is going. I'm talking about interruptions into Jesus's plan because of somebody that was hungry enough to go beyond what others would do and to go beyond what others would really want to be able to be seen as, and say, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I need a touch from God. I don't care what anybody else wants to whisper about me. I need a touch from God. Interruptions into God's plan. Joshua chapter 2, we see the story of Rahab the harlot. Joshua is sending spies over into the city to see what's going to happen before they try and take the city. And Rahab the harlot has no business in the things of God. She hides the spies when they try to catch them. And she said, the only thing I ask in return is that you protect me and my family when you take the city. Joshua could have said, she means nothing to us. She doesn't mean much to her culture. She's not in high standing even within that organization she lives in. But Joshua said, no, because you were willing enough to step in and do what others were not willing to do. Her life is spared, not just her life, but her family. And then it goes beyond that. Jesus doesn't just let somebody stay on the fringes. He said, I'm not only going to give you the time to speak to you today and to save you and your family, but I'm going to insert you into the lineage of Jesus Christ. When you begin to hear that lineage read of who Jesus came from and the family members that came before him, Rahab the harlot, that was not of the children of Israel, has been inserted into that lineage. Why? It was an interruption in God's plan, but grace will always trump the plan. Mercy will always trump the plan. If somebody is hungry for the things of God, God will direct his attention to them. It goes on to that in Ruth chapter 1. We know the story of Ruth. Ruth is from Moab. She's a Moabite priestess, furthest thing from God that you can get. But she marries somebody who had left the land and come out, maybe you'd consider them a backslider, and left the land of the children of Israel and came to Moab, and she married him, and he died, and his brother died, and their father died, and she's left with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi releases her and Orpah back to their families and said, listen, I've got to go back to where I came from. Thank you for being faithful wives to my sons, but they're dead and I've got to leave. Orpah leaves, but Ruth says, no, there's something different here. There's something different. I don't know what it is exactly, but where you go, Naomi, I'm going to go. And the God that you serve, Naomi, I'm going to serve. And she inserted herself through the grace of God again into the lineage of Jesus Christ, the grandmother of Jesus Christ. Rahab, the harlot, Ruth, the Moabite priestess. Those are interruptions in God's plan. They don't belong. They don't fit the mold. But God said, I'm going to show grace because of hunger in your lives. The interruptions in God's plan. God is always attracted by hunger. Always. And the interruptions that he provides are always enacted by faith. Everybody we've talked to today have been about, they've had faith that God is going to do this for them. But finally, they are fulfilled by obedience. They're fulfilled by obedience. If Ruth had gone through that whole process and then not listened to Naomi, if she'd have done her own thing, she would not have ended up where she was at. If Rahab hadn't, she saved the spies. She did everything she was supposed to do. But if she didn't hang the scarlet thread out of her window and obey what was told to her, she would not have been saved. Sometimes I believe we do go as far as saying we're hungry for God. We do go as far as saying, whatever it takes, I want whatever you can give me, God. But then when God speaks to us and tells us what we need to do, we start to back away. I don't know. I don't know about that. Anybody hear of the rich young ruler? Well, what do I need to do to enter into eternal life? Well, you need to keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, I've done all that since I was a kid. That's easy stuff. I'm a checkbox guy. I've done all of that. So he said, okay, but I'm going to speak to the heart of your need, and I'm going to tell you, because of your love for money, you need to go sell everything that you have and you need to give it to the poor. And the Bible says that he was hurt because he loved money. And he walked away, and we don't hear from him ever again because it's enacted. This interruption of God's plan and this bestowing of grace and mercy is always enacted by obedience. Whatever God is telling you to do today, I'm telling you, you need to listen to him. If you have his attention, if you've worshiped and you said, God, I need you to work on my life today, when he begins to speak to your life, and as you even go home today, and when we're finished here, and Tuesday morning, you're in your Bible, and you're reading, and you see something that jumps out, and God says, this is what I'm asking you to begin to look at and work on. Don't push that away, because God's plan is always enacted by obedience. Let the Word of God begin to work on your heart. Let him begin to mold you and shape you into what he wants you to be. God is a God of interruption. They're graceful interruptions, what I've talked about today. Because these people that I've talked about were on a tangent. They were on a line. They were in a direction that was not in the right way of God. And because of the interruption of their life between them and God and what he did for them, that line was forever changed. It pushed them in a different direction. That tells me it doesn't matter where you come from today. It doesn't matter what you've been a part of. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've made or the paths that you've walked down. It doesn't matter today what line you're walking. Because when Jesus steps in and he begins to interrupt his plan, he can move you to where you need to be today. He can start you on a path that you didn't even realize was available to you if you will obey him this morning. The cross is the greatest interruption. It was the greatest tangent change because we were all walking in the wrong direction. And the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't do anything to ascertain the grace of God. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he began the process of changing our direction because the Bible tells us also that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We were walking in the wrong direction. And God stepped in with an interruption. But there are two types of interruptions today. One that I've spoke about today is initiated by us. Rahab, Ruth, Syrophoenician woman, the woman with the issue of blood. It's initiated by them. It's initiated by them. They're the ones that are hungry for the things of God. They're the ones that want to see God move in their life. They're the ones that are going out of their way to try and fix things in their lives and in their families. They're the ones that are initiating this contact with Jesus. But there's another kind of interruptions that I want to speak a little bit about today before I'm done. And those are the interruptions that God initiates. Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. For whatever reason, he didn't want to go preach to the Ninevites. He didn't want to listen to the voice of God, and so he buys a ticket on the boat going the opposite direction. And a few moments later, we begin, a few verses later, you read about a God interruption. There's a storm that blows into Jonah's life, and it begins to shake everything around him. He doesn't understand it at first, and for sure everybody on the boat didn't understand it. And they're trying to do everything else, throw everything else overboard that might help them, but they were in the middle of a God interruption. They didn't even realize what was going on, but it appeared to Jonah pretty quickly. He said, wait, guys, this is all because of me. God's trying to get my attention. God's trying to wake something up inside of me. God's trying to ask me to turn back around and go where he asked me to go. And so when Jonah realized that, he said, throw me overboard. I got to get back to where I'm going. And so they throw him overboard. You all know the story that the great fish swallows him up, and for 3 days he's in the belly of a fish, and then he's thrown up on land. He's had a bad day. A bad couple days. But it was a God interruption. And if you were to go to Jonah today, if you were able to talk to him and say, Jonah, was it worth being in the belly of the whale? Was it worth being in a storm for you to be able to be on the other side of this story? He would say, unequivocally, yes. I didn't enjoy the storm. I didn't enjoy the fish. I didn't enjoy what was going on in my life. It was uncomfortable, and it wasn't anything my flesh liked. But if it were not for the storm, I wouldn't have gone and preached to Nineveh. If it were not for the storm, I wouldn't have seen an entire city saved by the grace of God. If it were not for the interruption that God placed in my life. Saul is walking on his way to persecute more Christians. He has no desire to live for God because he doesn't even know who God is. He's serving a God of Old Testament scribes that have written things about him and who he was. He didn't understand who God was. And the Bible says that Jesus, he shone a great light on him, and it blinded him, and it knocked him down, and he said, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That's a God interruption. And for a few days, 3 days to be exact, he was blinded. He could not see. That's an interruption by God. That's an interruption. That's not comfortable. I'm sure he was not happy the fact he couldn't see. I don't even know how to get where I'm going. Somebody's got to lead me. And there are times, listen, can I just be very easily plain today? There are times in your walk with God that you might start going through a storm, or you might feel that I can't see anything. I'm in blackness. I don't know how to discern. Job said it best. He said, I don't know where God is. I look in front of me, I don't see him. I look behind me, I don't see him. Below me, above me, I can't see God. There will be times in your walk with God where you feel blinded. There will be times that you can't see God and you can't see his will and you can't see his purpose and you don't understand what's going on in your life. I'm telling you, that's a time of God interruption. And if you will be obedient to what God is asking for you, whatever it is that God is saying do, you just do. Because in 3 days, there's a guy named Ananias that, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, that comes and lays his hand on Saul, and he receives his sight. And Saul goes on to become Paul, who writes 2/3 of the New Testament that we read today. In 3 days, Jonah's going to be in the belly of a whale and then thrown up, and then he's going to walk into Nineveh and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to take him just a few days. But if you can trust God in the middle of his interruption, he's got purpose, and he's got plan, and he's got a desire for your life. He's going to make an impact on your life. He's going to change the trajectory that you're walking on. He's going to change your lineage of your family spiritually, but you've got to be willing to walk through those times of interruption. We don't like those times. Those are times of uncertainty. We don't understand those times because they don't line up to our plan. They don't make sense to us because it doesn't show up on our calendar. But when God begins to move and begins to shake some things, I'm talking to somebody here today that you feel like your world is beginning to rock a little bit and you don't understand what's going on. And there's uncertainty in your life. If it's finances, if it's job, if it's relation, you don't know what's going on. I'm asking you today, this is a time of a godly interruption in your life. Respond the right way. God, I'm hungry for you. I don't understand this, but I'm hungry for you. I don't get this, but I'm hungry for you. It all, if you can just be obedient in the moment of a storm, God is going to bring you out on the other side, and you can look back later and see, well, I can see what's going on. I understand what happened. I don't see it now, but I trust God enough to be obedient even in my time of storm. It's an interruption. But interruptions are all not bad things. Interruptions are not all the time a terrible thing for us. It's a moment for us to step back and say, what am I missing? What am I not getting here, God? I thought I was going through the right door, and now the door slams shut. I don't understand it. But God, I'm going to be obedient in this moment of interruption. Everything is changing right now, but I'm going to be obedient because I know that you've got the best interest of my family in line. I know that you've got my purpose already set up, and even if I can't see it, I'll trust you. Somebody hear me today. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know what's going on. It just seems off. It's a time of interruption. Things are moving. You're frustrated. God has purpose. You're frustrated, but God has purpose. Saul, I know you don't understand this, You've been persecuting the people that you're getting ready to join, and you don't even see how this is going to work. But I've got such a plan in your life. You're going to see and enact one of the greatest revivals. You're going to be one of the greatest missionaries that the New Testament world has ever seen. But you've got to take these 3 days of blindness and trust me. Sometimes he has to blind us, because if he doesn't, we won't trust him. Sometimes if he doesn't take our ability away to drive, if he doesn't remove the keys from our hands, he knows that we're going to drive anyways. And so some of us who are stubborn, God's got to say, I'm just going to take your vision for a few days. God, I don't want you to take my vision. I'm not comfortable with that. That's not what I want. That's not what I'm asking for today. He said, no, I know. But I know that my will for you is going to have to take you down this road right here. And if you continue going this way, you're not going to be in my will. So I'm going to take your vision for a few days. Those moments of lack of vision are hard. We feel like we're kind of stumbling around. I'm sure whatever house he was in, he wasn't familiar with it. It wasn't what he was used to. And so Saul had to kind of feel himself around the rooms a little bit. Kind of figure out where he was at. Where's the bedroom? Where's the kitchen? Not familiar with this. But I promise you that Ananias is on the way. If you can just hold on. If God has removed that vision from you and you can't see what's in front of you. You can't see what tomorrow is. Trust him. Trust him. Because sometimes the only way he can get us into his will is to get us out of ours. Saul was hard-headed. Saul was devoted. Saul was disciplined. Saul was going to get things done. God said, the only way I'm going to get you on the right path is to take away your will and let you listen to me for a few days. We know how it ends. We understand Ananias comes to the door, even though he didn't want to because he was worried. And he lays his hand on Saul, and Saul gets his sight back, and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he's baptized, and he becomes that person that we know who Paul is today. But I'm speaking to somebody in those 3 days of blindness. I'm speaking to somebody, the woman with the issue of blood, as she's pushing her way through a crowd that may not have been very kind to her. She's just trying to get to Jesus. And it's those moments that we question our motives. Is this right? I know I'm desperate for God, but is this even going to work? I'm trying to talk to somebody in that moment that's getting ready to precede that interruption. And I'm telling you, if you can trust God, if you can trust him, there's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a will, there's a way. He's got something in store, but you've got to trust him. Stand with me this morning. The key to both kinds of interruptions, whether we initiate it or whether God does, is obedience. Obedience. Jonah, it's a big interruption in your life. If you'll listen to me, I've got the answer. You're going to see fulfilled in your life what I've got planned out. But you got to listen. Saul, if you'll listen to me, just be patient. Just pump the brakes for a moment. You can't see where you're going anyway, so stop. Just stop for a minute. Listen. God's got a plan. And if we're going to throw it in here, we might as well talk about Jairus. He thought everything was already in control. Jesus is on his way to my house. He's going to heal my daughter. And then somebody stops him in the crowd. And I'm sure in Jairus' mind as a father, he's thinking, come on, we've got to go. It's got to happen now. Because if it doesn't happen now, she's going to be dead. Impatience kicks in. But Jesus makes his way finally to the house with him. And when they get there, Jairus' fears are realized, his daughter's dead. Jesus said, no, she's just sleeping. And he kicked everybody out that wasn't believing, and he prayed for her, and he just lifted her up and said, daughter, arise. Because there's a time and a place and a purpose in the kingdom of God for everything. Everything. God has not forgotten you. God doesn't just forget about what he's done and the things that he's put on hold and the pauses that he's put in your life. God doesn't just stops recalling that he's got something in store for you. There's a season. You've got to sow before you can reap. There's things that have to happen before you can get to where you're going. And sometimes it's removing some things from our lives so we'll turn to him and he can put us back in the right direction. What I'm saying, the bottom line today is, trust God and be obedient. If you will trust him today and be obedient with whatever interruptions going on in your life, with whatever he's talked to you about to do, what God's plan is for your life will go well beyond what you could ever imagine. Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. But if you stop in those 3 days of no vision, you may never see again. If you leave because you're going to put it upon yourself to go get this fixed on your own, Ananias doesn't know where to find you, and so Ananias doesn't pray for you, and you don't receive your sight, and you're blind. That's not God's will. So just because you don't have vision right now does not mean that God has forgotten you, that he doesn't have a plan for you, and Ananias is not on the way. Trust him. Obey him. I don't know where you're at today. What you're dealing with. If you have a need in your life that you need God to move on today, this would be the moment for you to respond. Whether it was on his calendar or not, if you're hungry for the things of God, you will attract his attention because hunger will always do that. But I also know there's some people in here today that are dealing with some God interruptions. You don't understand. You don't really know what to do. I'm telling you, this is the plan. Trust him. Obey him. If it were something hard, we would readily do it. But those two things are so easy. It's got to be something more. No, I'm telling you today. This is what the word of the Lord spoke to me. Trust him and obey him. I'm not telling you to obey me. Unless God gives me a word of knowledge, this is where we get into the word of God. And we say, okay, God, I trust you. I don't see. I can't see. I don't know what's happening. Feels like I'm at a standstill. Show me in your word. Reassure me today by your presence. That's what he's here for today. If you can come down today and find a place to pray and just say, God, even if I get up from this altar today and I still can't see, I trust you. Even if you don't answer me in the completeness that I'm asking you for today, I trust you, and I will obey whatever you're asking me to do because I trust you. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. Might be one person, might be everybody in the room, but I'm asking you today to respond accordingly. If you have a need from the Lord today, you have something in your life, your relationship, your body, healing, whatever it is, respond today. He always responds to hunger. But if you have a lack of vision, you find yourself struggling with the future and you don't know what God's doing and you really can't put your hand on the will of God in your life, I'm asking you today to respond and just reassure one more time yourself and him, I trust you and I will obey. As they're singing today, would you find a place to pray? Would you find a place of consecration? I trust you, God. I trust you today, God. Those are hard words to say when you don't know what tomorrow looks like, but I trust you today. When you can't see what's in front of you, it's hard to speak those words, but if you can speak those out of your spirit today, God, I trust you. I trust you. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. I trust you today. Whatever your will is, I trust you. And whatever your way is, whatever your instruction to me is, God, I will obey. I follow whatever your will is for my life. Just show me the next step. Come on, somebody hear me this morning. The Spirit of God is moving. He's trying to reassure somebody in this room today. I know where you're at. I know where what you're going through. I know exactly what's going on. You may not see it, but I do. Trust me. Trust me. Obey me. Hallelujah. 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 There are interruptions that we see an instant change with. That woman with the issue of blood was changed. Her body was healed from the moment she touched the hem of his garment. God works that way. I trust that he works that way. There are times when that healing is instantaneous, when that answer comes right away. But there are times, like Jairus, you got to wait for him to get to the house. Saul, you got to wait for 3 days before Ananias shows up. So just because you're not getting exactly what you need right now doesn't mean it's not on the way. Just because it may even seem like that everything is lost, like Jairus' daughter was already passed, even if it looks like it's not working out, you've got to trust him because God has a plan. We don't see it. We can't see it. I wish we could. But you have to trust him even if that vision isn't restored right away, even if the answer doesn't come in this moment in the altar. I talked to the young people today about consistency. You've got to go tomorrow back to the throne and say, God, I'm here again. If there's anything you need to show me, if there's anything you need to ask of me, I'm here. I'm ready and willing to listen, to trust, and to obey. And Tuesday's got to be the same thing. I trust you. God, what is it today that you need from me? It cannot be an altar call walk with God. It cannot be a Sunday afternoon relationship with God. It's got to be a consistent walk with him. There are needs in this room today that are big needs. There are questions in this room today that are big questions. Some that I feel in the spirit, some that I probably have no idea about. You've got to trust him. You've got to trust him. It may be an instant deal. Maybe it's a Wednesday night Bible study. Maybe it's a Tuesday afternoon prayer in your car on the way home. It could be an instant deal where God touches you and you know you exactly what you need to do and you have the healing that you need. Or it may be a process. But God is always working all things for our good. Good things, bad things, interruptions we don't like, all those things. Putting it in together, producing a will for our a purpose for our life. I would challenge you today, if you're in the middle of that interruption that God has provided and you don't see and you can't tell what's going on, surrender your will. Surrender. God, it's not my will, it's your will. It's not my plan, it's your plan. Because if you can surrender your will to him, he can redirect you wherever you want to go. If I'm walking this direction and I want to get to that direction, somebody might move me around, but I'm going to fight it and I'm not going to move as they're wanting me to move. But if I'm surrendered to your will and you're pushing me and directing me wherever I'm not fighting it, then you can put me and direct me wherever you want me to go. That's the same way in our walk with God. If you would stop fighting the will of God in the direction of God, get your will out of the way. Scrap it. Say, okay, I must not know what's going on. God, I trust you. I'm not going to push against it. I'm not going to try to force a direction one way or the other. You just guide and direct my steps. And then be obedient when he shows them to you. If you'll do that, I promise you God is going to put you in the right place. He's going to direct your family, your relationship, your finances. Everything will be where it needs to be. But you've got to let him guide. You've got to let him. You've got to trust him today. Let's pray today. Lord, I love you today. I'm thankful for the prodding of your spirit. I'm thankful today for your word that is sharp, that cuts into our will. It cuts into our spirit and it asks us to do some things that maybe aren't comfortable. But God, I know that if we'll trust you, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in this way. So, Lord, I want to delight in your way. I don't want to delight in my plan. I don't want to delight in my will. I want to delight in your way because I want my steps to be ordered of you. When it comes to my family and when it comes to my finances, when it comes to my relationships, when it comes to my walk with you and the calling you've placed on my life, God, I want you to direct that, not my will. Thy will be done. We trust you in all these things, God. Listen. If Jesus had to have a Garden of Gethsemane moment, so do we. That moment when he said, not my will. If it be your will to let this cup pass from me, that's what I'd like to sign up for. But if that's not your will, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. It's my last admonition today. Find a moment in prayer. When it's not just a response because everybody else is responding, you find a moment in prayer this week and you have that garden moment when you say, God, I'd like for this to happen. But nevertheless, your will, not mine. I surrender to it. I lay mine down and I accept whatever your will is. If you will have that moment in prayer, it will change your outset. It will change your mindset. God can move you and place you as he needs to. I believe that's his purpose today. I love you. I'm so thankful for you being here today. All of our visitors, again, thank you for being with us. Church family, thank you for being here. Let's go today in prayer. We'll come back together Wednesday for Bible study, but I believe God is speaking to hearts even now, even in this moment. Take some time today, this evening, before you go to bed. Take some time and just, God, one more time, I'm just going to tell you, I surrender to you, and I trust you, and I will listen and see what God does in your life today. I believe it's going to happen. It just takes that surrendering of our control because we don't like that, but that's what it requires. Amen. Lord bless you today. So good to see each and every one of you. Make sure you greet everyone. Let them know that we're happy that they're here. Of course, visitors, but each other. You know, I know we've got some out sick. Be in prayer for them this week. Let's be the body of Christ. Reach out to those that aren't here. Encourage them. Love them. We'll be together Wednesday night for Bible study at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Look forward to seeing you then. Lord bless you in Jesus' name.